Okay, Rabosai, we're learning Yerideya. We are up to Simon Pei Zayin Se'if Vav. And the Mechaber tells us in Pei Zayin Vav, and this is based on the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Vav, the Mechaber tells us that Me'ushan Mevushal B'chamer Tveria, you don't get Malkis, and Mevashal Basar B'mecholav, B'cholav Mesa, B'cholav Zachar, or Dan B'cholav is Pater, and you don't get Malkus on the Achila Alts Basar B'cholav. In other words, the Mechaber seems to be equating the cases of Me'ushan and Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria. In both situations, he writes, Ein Lokin Olav, that you don't get Malkus for Me'ushan and Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria. Now, we already discussed Me'ushan at one time. We noted that Me'ushan is a suffig in the Yerushalmi, and the Gain says that we were poshate that suffig, and therefore la halacha we paskin that Me'ushan is full fledged bishul. Right? We discussed maybe there's no comparison from Shabbos to Basar B'cholav, but la halacha, right, the Mechaber says against the Gain that Me'ushan is suffig bishul, and because it's a suffig, there is no malchus. By implication, you would get the impression that Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria is also a suffig bishul. No? L'cha'ora, right? Again, this is advanced mathematics. Ready? 1 plus 1 equals 11. Right? The mathematics basically says that Me'ushan is suffig bishul. Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria, about both of them is the same din. So, ein lokin olav. That would mean that they are both a suffig bishul. That's l'cha'ira what should be true. Now, it's not abundantly clear, however, right? One could argue that Me'ushan is a suffig, but Mevushal is treated like it's bishul bevadai midrabanan. Right? That's certainly a logically sound argument, that Me'ushan is a suffig in the Yerushalmi. If you look in the Gain over here, the Gain says about Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria, he says, Kamosha Kosov Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Beis. Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Beis tells me that it's considered Bishul Midrabanan. No? That means, and the Badi HaShulchan points us out, Behavla'a in Siyunim Os Kuf Nun, that means that we are not really equating Me'ushan to Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria. Me'ushan is a suffix, it's a suffix d'iraisa. What would emerge is that if it's a suffik d'iraisa, it should also min ha-suffik be aser b'hana'a, no? However, if you hold that it's only d'irabonon, right, like mevushal b'chamei tiveria emerges being midrabonon, so then mevushal b'chamei tiveria would also be what? Mevushal b'chamei tiveria, excuse me, would not be aser b'hana'a, no? In other words, if we equate the two, so then l'cha'ira, both of them should be aser b'hana'a. Right? That's what the Mechaber seems to say. But when we get beneath the hood, and we look at the Makar HaDavar, we realize that, one second, Me'ushan is a suffik d'araisa. Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria is vaday midrabanan. And there's a nafgamina in terms of whether mikoach suffik it's going to be aser b'hana'a. Look in the Balei HaShulchan Os Ayin Gimel. Is Sifkat and Ayin Gimel. The Balei HaShulchan Sifkat and Ayin Gimel points out this is a big machlokes ha-achronim ha-poskim, how to read these din of Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria and whether it's equal la-halacha to the dinim of Me'ushan. The Yad Yehuda, I would say it's by my makom, but I actually didn't bring it back down to my makom after Rosh Hashanah. But the Yad Yehuda in Sifkat and Tes, in the Perish HaAruch. There's a Perish HaAruch and a Perish HaKotzer in the Yad Yehuda. So the Yad Yehuda writes that maybe this is a machlokas between the Torah and the Rambam. You see, the Mechaber's approach when he wrote Shulchan Aruch is that he does what we would call in computer language cut and pastes. No? Cuts and pastes. So the Mechaber just takes the Lashon HaRambam straight up. No? So the Mechaber writes that Me'ushan and Mevushal B'chamei Tiveria ain lokin olav. No malchus. The tour, however, added a word here. The tour says "pater," the ain like an olav. No. Now, bas mentos, like what does it mean? So l'chaora, that's a fundamental question. If I say ain like an olav, I am more inclined to believe that that means it's an Isser D'Oraisa Mikoyach Safik, albeit, right, that because it's Mikoyach Safik, there's no Malkus. That's what Ein Lokin Olaf means. Pater sounds very rabbinic. Nachon? So, this difference between the Tur and the Rambam, right, in, again, if you look at the Tur, he just adds that word patur. It's a right, patur, get it? Right, it's very suggestive. I think that is the, that's the first ha'ara that we want to make. Mu'ushan b'vushal b'chamei tiverya ein like in Allah. We already spoke about mu'ushan beforehand, and we pointed out that if mu'ushan is considered bishul midrabanan, one could argue mu'ushan should be aser by bishul einachrim. But if mu'ushan is a suffik d'oraisa, so we could say that by bishul einachrim should be heter gomor al suffik d'rabanan. That should be totally in the same chakira. Right? If I'm assuming that the first two principles in this case are Mikayach Safek, so by Bishulay Nachrim I could be Megal. But if I'm assuming that's Mikayach Avadai Dindirabonon, then I can't be Megal by Bishulay Nachrim. Next, if I'm Vasho Basar B'mei Cholav, so it also says that you're Pater and you don't get Malkus on it. That's what the Mechaber writes over here. And so if Ches, the Mechaber quotes a Yesh Misha Omer that Nisyuvi Dechalba. How would you translate Nisyuvi Dechalba in English?
Extract.
Extract. More precise. You see it on ingredients all the time. Whey. W-H-E-Y. Whey. So whey is considered to be Cholav Min HaTaira. Mei Cholav means that after you make the cheese, right, you make cheese and you separate it like Little Miss Muffet into curds and whey. No? Any of you remember nursery rhymes? Right, so you separate it into the curds and the whey. So after you make the cheese, you cook the whey again. And you further separate a solid and a liquid. So that liquid that is from the cooked whey, that liquid is called mei cholav, which is aser midrabanan. Whey is min hatayra, says the Mechaber. But cooked whey that produces water, whey water, we'll call it, that is what we talk about as mei cholav, which is aser midrabanan, kemoshe kosev ha-Mechaber, right over here. Now, this issue actually is somewhat interesting because really, right, the Rosh in Perek Ches and Siman Nun Aleph notes this is a fundamental machlokes harishonim. The Rambam tells us that the whey water is going to be Usser to eat entirely. It's treif. As I state in Rambam. Because the din is that there's a special pasuk that we use to be matir cholov. Pashtus says that milk should be treif because it's yotzei min hatame. Every live animal is an eiver min achai. The milk should be treif, al yotzei min hatame. I have a gezeiras hakosuv to tell me that milk is kosher because Eretz Zavas Cholavut Vash. That's Megala, that milk is kosher. Once I'm telling you that Mei Cholav is not milk, right? So that would mean that whey water, which is not milk, let's say, so it should be treif. If it's not milk, it's Yotzei Minatome. Alt Yotzei Minatome, it should be treif. That's the Shita of the Rambam. Now, effectively, what this means is that we have three shitos over here. I'll get to you in 1 second, Chaim. There are three shitos. There's a phantom shita out there that the Rosh is rejecting, which is that whey water is milchik min hatayra. Then there's a shita that whey water is milchik midrabanan, and that seems to be the psakin halacha. Then there's a third shita that whey water is treif. is a third shita that whey water is going to be treif. Now, the Prima Godem in Os Chaf Gimel notes that the Etzem, there's a fourth shita even. The fourth shita is that even Mechalav, again, what did we say? That even Mechalav is Midrabanan. How do we say it? Either Mechalav is Deraisa and Mechalav is Drabanan. Alternatively, we could say Mechalav is Deraisa, Mechalav is Treif. Alternatively, we could say even Mechalav is Deraisa. That's not so likely. The fourth possibility is that Mechalav is going to be Heter Gomer. Was that clear, or did I just confuse everybody? There are four possibilities. Right? That's what the Prima Gadim notes. Four possibilities of halacha about the status of Mei Mei Cholav. And conceptually, the shita that's the most interesting is obviously this Rambam, who says that Mei Mei Cholav is treif. Because how you talking? That Kozman, it was considered part of the milk. Like 20 minutes ago, you have milk that just comes straight out of the cow. So it's all milchik. Right? Everything is wonderful, milchik gevaldik. Then what happens is, I cook the whey, and I have whey water, and now it's treif. So beforehand it was kosher, now it becomes treif. Right? Things shouldn't just become treif later on in their life. And that kasha the Rush asked on the Rambam. And the Rush said, nah, that shouldn't bother you so much, because we have this by dam. Dam ha'ivarim shelo pirish is mutter. Once it's pirish, it becomes dam, and it becomes aser. Here also, the mei mei chalav, kozman, it's inside, it is mutter. It comes out, you cook it, so then it becomes aser. That's not so difficult. Now, the Rush himself disagrees with the Rambam. The Rush says that mei mei chalav is kosher, but it's aser midrabanan, but it's milk midrabanan, but it's kosher. And the Rush says it's just not called chalev imo, but it is called chalav, the chalatei rekula. The nafgamina is for hechsher zraim. If you assume that mei chalav, like the Rambam, is no longer called chalav, it's yotzei, right? So it's no longer bechlav the heter of chalav, so the Rambam says, so therefore it's treif. If it's treif, that means it's not chalav. If it's not cholav, it should not be machshir zra'im. The din is only six liquids of machshir zra'im. No yad shachatam. That's it. Only six liquids in entire Judaism. By the way, all of these acronyms come from the Tiferet Yisrael in the Bible. Machshirin is the one who invented yad shachatam that they taught you in elementary school, no? Yayin, devash, shemen, cholav, dam, and mayim. Those are the only six things in Judaism, in the planet, that are called mashkin. Cholav is a mashke. Oy bes heis nisht cholav, if it's not cholav, it's not going to be mashir zraim. L'chayra for the Rambam, it's not mashir zraim for the Rush. It is, because the Rush is saying it is cholav, it's just not called cholav aim. That's the whole discussion here in the Rush in Parakasim in Nun Aleph. Chayim, now I can take your question.
Yeah, so for the Rambam, like, why are other things that are made of milk that are not in the form of milk kosher? Like cheese?
Cheese.
Why is the curd?
So the Bali HaTosfos, remember, we already encountered this a little bit in the Shach, where he discussed how come eggs are kosher. Right? And he pointed out from the Rabbeinu Tam. So we have basically gzeres hakasavs by everything to say that it's kosher. But anything that is not included in the gzeres hakasav should technically be treif. What?
So
cheese, you have to say there's a gzeres hakasav that cheese is going to be mutter. You have to say there's some heter for cheese, correct? Just like there's some.
Say for each type of.
If I don't have, the Gemara Bechoris works on some of them. If I don't have those, you have to work further and be matir everything. Right, everything has to have a special heter. And your question basically is, if cheese is mutter because it used to be milk, so then why don't they say that mei chalav is mutter because it used to be milk? So I hear the kasha, but the Rambam says, no, don't say that. For the Rambam al karchacha, we're going to have to say that we have some special heter for cheese. Right? It's not just that Yotzei min hacholav is mutter. I'll bring you another raya. The Rambam has a broader definition of yotze than many others, no? There's something in this word called kopi luwak coffee. It's the most expensive coffee on the planet, no? Apparently it costs like $400 a cup. Right? If you ever want to drink it, the week before Yom Kippur is not the time to start. It's probably also like a waste of money to drink it. But people are into it. Now, how do you make kopi luwak coffee? So there's some cat that excretes coffee beans together with its bowel movements. This is as disgusting as it gets, no?
Not worse than the worm cheese.
Okay, but it's pretty disgusting, all agree. And you take those coffee beans that were excreted by some cat over there, and you make kopi luwak coffee. Wow. Is that stuff kosher? In Yerideya Simen Pei Aleph, there's a discussion about Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor and stuff like that, no? The way Rav Shechter says it is that you're at the wedding, and there's this bottle of yellow liquid on the table. You think it's ginger ale. Ha, ha, ha. Right? Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor. Rambam holds it's all treif. Yotzei Min HaTomei. The Rambam has a broader definition of yotze that extends to things that are yotze with a shinoi, no? It comes out, again, first of all, is it considered yotze if it's like something that goes in, gets processed a little bit, then comes out? We'll discuss it a little bit more in the cheese sugya. But for the Rambam, it's all going to be treif. The Rambam has a broader definition of yotze, and for the Rambam, yotze applies even to mei mecholav. It's probably not exactly the same issue, but it might be. So this is a machlokes about the status of mei mecholav. It's a machlokes about the status of mei mecholav. By the way, if you look in the Levush on this day, we'll hold that off. The Levush was in the previous conversation, but it's really not necessary. The Prima Godim over here in Eischof Gimel is Mesupik as to whether you can be Mitzdarif Lahakel, the Shita, that Mei Mecholov is considered Heter Gomor. It's not even Aser Midrabanan. The Shita that Mecholov is Dirabanan, Wei is Dirabanan, and Mei Mecholov is going to be Heter Gomor. And the Prima Godim is Mistapik whether you can include in a Svek Sveka a Shita that the Mechaber rejected. That's already interesting conceptually, or in terms of how we view the Shulchan Aruch. The Prima Godim says, I'm not even sure if you can be mitzdarifit to a Svek Sveka. Rav Shechter tells some story that one time he was at a halacha conference with some other kashrus organizations, not the OU, and one of the poskim wanted to include as a suffix that maybe way is derabanan. It was like a large shiloh that came up. That was nogeya to many things, and Rav Shechter was basically saying, no, it's against the Shulchan Aruch. Right, whether you can be mitzdarif as a svek svega, something against the Shulchan Aruch, is not so pashut. The other issue that I was mitzayin to is Rav Shechter's discussion in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, page Kufnun Ches, and onward. We have, in many cases, something that kolzman it's me'urav, it has one din. But when I separate it out, the dinim change. Mashal amahadavar doma. We know that our blood is comprised of white blood cells and red blood cells. The Gemara tells me that only the red has a din of dam. No? Let's say you're a lunatic and you drink platelets. You drink white blood cells. So you're violating the iser of dam. L'chayra kolzman, it's together. The white stuff is mitzdarif with the red stuff to create a shear of dam. The shear of dam, by the way, is considered a kezias. No? Even though Hasvara nosenes said it should be a revius because it's a liquid, but the Minchas Chinuch is mistapik exactly why this is true, but we assume that there's a din of a kezias with the shear of dam. The white blood cells combine because they're together. But when you separate it out, the white blood cells is now considered blood halachically. Similarly, bread. Bread comes from wheat that is ground together. No? You grind up the wheat kernels and you make flour, and from the flour you make bread. Now, wheat has a outer husk, which is called the bran, and the inner part, which is the wheat kernel. No? If I separate the bran from the wheat kernel, it's going to be that the bran is a hadoma, not a mezonos. No? But when it is all together, everything is mitzdarif to the sheer mezonos. Similarly, by cholov, right? I have this entity that has mecholov, has cheese, right, curds and whey, and the mecholov is also part of it. Right? When I separate it out, the mecholov has a different din. But kozman, it's together, it doesn't have a different din. And this is something that Rav Schechter works on in that essay in the Ikve Hatzon. Yes, sir?
Is it so clear in all the cases that the thing that changes its status when separated is mitzurah to other things, or just that it's batel or something when it's together?
Well, so again, so if I work with batel, so then I think it's pretty clear that the shear of dam, no posik would say that if you have a kezayis adam, that you're not going to be chayiv malchus, because there's also white blood cells in there, right?
Yeah.
Everyone in Judaism has assumed that you're chayiv malchus, so obviously we are including it. I think all those cases, it's pretty. No one has ever said. Now, if you want to argue that out to bittul, saying you get involved, Taisus and Zvachim has a discussion about whether bittul is mitzdarif to a shear. Right, that's already advanced lumdis that we'll probably talk about sometime later. Now, one other thing, mecholov. The Badei HaShulchan raises this issue on page Lamed. The way I get mecholov is I cook whey, and then I get whey water, right? Now, shouldn't the whey water be milchik min hatayra because of the din of tam ke'ikar? Tam ke'ikar is a halacha that says that when you have the flavor of something, it takes on the halachic status of the thing that contributes its flavor. So, halo davarhu, how come the mei cholov is assumed to be pariv min ha-toira? Shouldn't we say it's milchik al tzedin of tam ke'ikar? That's a very strong kasha. But Fivel Cohen wants to answer the kasha that maybe I only see tam ke'ikar with something that has a very noticeable taste. But when you cook the whey, and it gives some flavor into the mei cholov, the taste is not so noticeable, so therefore there's no din of tam ke'ikar. That's something to just hold on to, put in your pipes, right? Hold it for a while, and we'll discuss it later on in Sadi Ches when we do the sigya of tam ke'ikar. So far, so good, gentlemen? Okay, let's go weiter in Judaism. Mei cholov, frekta b'kiva eger akasha. How come mei cholov is aser b'bishul? We said earlier that Basar Oif B'cholov, Vibalt, since Basar Oif, by the way, if you don't know 20 new Yiddish words by the end of this man, I have failed. Vibalt, since Basar Oif is Midrabon, and there's no Isser of Bishol, Nachon? You're allowed to cook Basar Oif B'cholov. You won't go to French cooking school. So how come it's also to cook Mei Cholov with Basar? Mei cholov, right? It's from Pesach and the Mechaber, no? If you cook, right? Mei cholov. Hamevashu basar b'mei cholov. So it's pater. It's asr midrabanan. Why is it asr midrabanan? It should be heter gomer. Mali basar oaf. Mali mei cholov. Azoi frekt hagon Reb Kiva Eger. So Reb Kiva Eger gives an answer in the name of the Tiferes Lemoshe. And he says, mei cholov is midrabanan and usher to cook because it comes from real cholov, as opposed to basar oaf, which is a new thing entirely. It's a new category, right? Mei cholov began its life as cholov. Then Reb Kiva Eger goes to town, and he says he doesn't know any proof from the Gemara that bishul with mei cholov should be usher midrabanan. Perhaps even though the Gemara says hamavashal b'mei cholov, which we translate as b'mei mecholov, even though the Gemara says mevasha, but mei cholav is midde rabbanon, says Rabbi Kiv Eger, mehechatesi, that means cooking. Maybe bishul means achila. Like many times, bishul means achila. For example, in scripture it says, lo tibashel gedi, right? That's kind of, right? So Rabbi Kiv Eger raises that question, and that itself is interesting. Let's go on. There is a discussion about Cholav Zachar. Cholav Zachar. What's the din? So the Mechaber writes a Cholav Zachar is Aser Midrabanan. No? The Pashtus is that the Ramo disagrees with the Mechaber. Because the Ramo writes Cholav Zachar Lo Mikri Cholav. It's not called Cholav at all. Again, and the Nafgamina would be like we spoke about Hechsher Zra'im. Right? Hechsher Zra'im L'cha'ira should be the Nafgamina, and in fact, Hagon, meaning the Gra, in Os Yud Zayin, is Mitzayin on the Ramah. When the Ramah says, Hacholav Zachar, lo mikre cholav, he's Mitzayin, that it's not Hechsher Zra'im. The Gon hits home runs, no? In half a sentence, he gives you a whole shiur. Isn't that beautiful? The Gon says, oh, there's a Machlokes Mechaber in Ramah about the status of Cholav Zachar, and the Nafkamin is for the Ramah, it's not Machshir Zerayim, and the Ramah is right because it's a Mishnah. I think that's the way to read a Gra, no? Oh. However, Rabbi Shabsi HaKohen Rappaport, who lived from 1621 to 1662, who we call the Shach, who was kind of awesome. So the Shach writes in Sifkat and Tes Zayin that there's no machlokas mechaber Ramah. Nishto kein machlokas. No machlokas at all. Because when I speak about cholav zachar, it can mean two things. It could be cholav zachar, milk that comes from a male animal. Let's say me'ezah sibashahi, the Rabbonu Shel Olam made a certain male animal that has udders and produces milk. So cholav zachar shabahema, that's going to be aser midrabanan. One second. Did I just say it backwards? The Rav HaMagid says that's aser midrabanan, right? And the Rav HaMagid says about cholav zachar shabahema. The cholav zachar shabahema is going to be heter gomer. It's not called cholav at all. That's what the Shach writes in Os Tes Zayin. Now, the Prima Gadim says about this Shach, nice try, dude. Right? He says, Shach, if you read it carefully, he's saying that it seems to be that there's a machlekes between the Isser V'Heter and the Magen Mishnah, but the Isser V'Heter says it's Heter Gamor, which is the source of the Ramah. He's talking about Cholav Zachar de Adam. And the Magen Mishnah is talking about Cholav Zachar de Behema, says the Prima Gadim, read the Isser V'Heter. If you read the Isser V'Heter, he's talking about Cholav Zachar Shel Behema. Also, so therefore, Shach's nice attempt at a distinction, but it's just wrong. Okay. And then the Prima Gadim goes on, and he talks about something that is very interesting. He talks about what's the status of Cholav Treifa. Let's explain. The reason why Cholav Mesa, Cholav Shchuta, no? Cholav Mesa is quoted in the Mechaber. Oh, right? Mechaber says Cholav Mesa is Midrabanan. Why? That means the milk that comes out of the animal after the animal is dead. That's only also Midrabanan, because it's not called Chalev Imo. Chalev Imo means something that is Ra'oi Mikroso Aim. Here it's not Ra'oi Mikroso Aim. So therefore, Cholav Mesa is Midrabanan. What about Cholav Treifa? Treifa is interesting, no? Treifa is a walking dead guy. Right, the animal has some deformity. It's going to die within a certain amount of time. The halacha is, if I kill a treifa, even a treifa shel ben adam, I'm not chayiv misa. No, a treifa shel behem I can't eat because it's evil. It's dead, even though it's not dead. Is it considered ra'oi mikroso aim? In mitzias, it can be an aim. We pass in treifa is not yoledes, but treifa can be yoledes if it was pregnant before it became a treifa. So, Reb Kiva Eger and the Prima Gadim both discuss this. But the Prima Gadim is inclined that Cholav Treifa is going to be Aser Bahano'ah. Chol of Treif is considered Chol of Min HaTorah. Since it could have the baby, if it was pregnant already, it's considered Chol of Min HaTorah. Reb Kiva Eger says, that's very nice and grand, but that would only be true about a Treifa that develops later on. There are different types of Treifas. Now, there are Yudchas Treifas in Judaism. Yudchas Treifas. So one of the Treifa, let's say, is a Yateret. Yateret means the animal has an extra digit. No? The animal has... There used to be a baseball player, and I was a kid, called Sixto Lescano. He played outfield for the Seattle Mariners. So let's say you have an animal that has six toes. Right? A Yateret. So Yateret, Yaseres, you're going to say in Ashkenazis. So Yaseres is a Treifa Mileida, Treifa Mibeten. In that situation... It could not have become pregnant beforehand. And then, L'cha'ora, says Reb Kiva Eger, we should have to be mechalek within Treifa. You can't say the Chol of Treifa is automatically Aser Min HaTorah, because a Chol of Treifa, if it was a Treifa Mibeten, should only be Aser Midrabonon. That's one issue in Reb Kiva Eger. At the beginning of the Reb Kiva Eger, he has another issue, which is just important because it's Lomdus. Which, again, according to my sheet, it means it's not all that important. But you could also say it's important because it's cool. It goes like this. What about a chol of ben pekua? A ben pekua, gentlemen, is as follows. You shecht an animal, and inside mommy's belly you find another animal, no? So the din is that min ha-taira, that animal who's a ben pekua, is going to be kosher without shechita. Midir abonon, if it's hifras agabe karka, right, if it's a full-term ben pekua, so it needs shechita, midrabanan. But it doesn't really need a full shechita. It says in Yerideya Yud Gimel, Simin Yud Gimel, that you could just like chop off the head or something, make it look like it's a shechita, right, it would be amazing. There was a fellow in Australia who was coming to yeshiva last year. He had this whole plan to solve lots of treifas issues in the world by creating a ben pekua farm. Because on ben pekuas are not machmir and treifas, no. So you wouldn't have to check any of the animals for their lungs. It would be kind of awesome. You just have to lop off the head and then eat it. And so he's trying to convince Rav Schechter that maybe you should make a ben pekua farm. Right. Any of you guys met this fellow?
I heard
about it. He's like an interesting character.
Australian last year.
Huh?
Last year.
He came to yeshiva last year. His name starts with an R. I forgot. Rabib, something. So that is the discussion. What about Cholav ben Pekua? Now this L'cha'ora, right, what's the suffix Reb Kiva Eger, whether Cholav ben Pekua is kosher? The din is that it's considered that it's kosher when it's Reh L'Krois Ayim. This animal is Reh L'Krois Ayim, but maybe not. Maybe it's considered Cholav Shchuta already. You see, Cholav Shchuta, the milk that comes out of a shechted animal is only aser midrabanan, no? How do I conceptualize ben pekua? If you look in the Shi'urei Harav on page Kuf Beis, he has this chakira, and the first footnote that Rabbi Konigsberg wrote on this chakira of the Rav is mitzayin this Reb Kiva Eger. What's the lumdus of ben pekua? Is the pshat of ben pekua that when you shecht the mommy, it's ki'ilu you shechted the baby also? Or is it the pshat that the baby doesn't need shechita? Is it that it is geshachten, or is it doesn't need shechita? And there's like a bazillion nafgaminas in Simin Yud Gimel Yud Aleph. It's a big topic. Lots of nafgaminas. So one nafgamina could be cholav ben pekua. If the pshat is that it's ki'ilu the baby is shechten, the milk is treif. If it's just a heter on the baby, and it's not that the baby is shechted, someone could argue that the cholav ben pekua is going to be. And the Chol Ben Pekua is going to be, right, kosher, because it's really close to aim. That's another interesting discussion. Reb Kiva Eger mamish hits home runs in this entire sif. The last Reb Kiva Eger to discuss in this sif is perhaps the most famous one. The Ramah quotes four chumras, and he tells us that then these things are only chumras, and you don't have to be choshesh for them, really, right? You should be choshesh l'chatchila, not b'diyeved, hameko lo hifsid, that's the last line of the Ramah. One of the cases is, that's ozer l'achdos ha'esh tachas kedera sho'o v'kol chavim. You can't stoke the fire underneath the pot of a goy because goyim cook basar and cholov, and therefore you're going to come with a bishul basar b'cholov. If I stoke the fire, it's ke'ilu I'm being mevashel the basar and cholov that's in the pot. So Reb Kiv Eger first asks, one second, why is it asar? L'chore, this is a davar she'inu misgavin. No? Davar she'inu misgavin is a kula b'chol ha'teira kula. In all, like davar she'inu misgavin means hazoi. I do act A, and I don't know that any other act will come out of it. Psik resha is a pshat, I do act A, and act B will inevitably result. But davar she'inu misgavin is I do act A, and I am not sure that act B will result or won't result. I don't know. That's davar she'inu misgavin. Frekta Biki Baker, there should be a davar she'inu misgavin. So Biki Baker answers, no, it's not davar she'inu misgavin. Because davar she'inu misgavin is a suffik wahaba. Over here it's a suffik l'sha'avar. When the month that I was in Rabbi Sachs's shir, he gave like 3 shirim about this. This is called suffik psik resha. Suffik psik resha, we spoke about this in the shir in Shabbos a lot. Suffik psik resha is azoi. Suffik psik resha means I am doing an act and I'm not sure whether there is a pre-existing condition that will make a malacha inevitable from that act. No? I have a box and there are flies that fly all around. I don't know if there are any flies in the box or not. Until some of there are flies in the box and I close the box, I'm in violation of tzad. I was the summer rabbi in Riverdale. 3 summers. Took over Rabbi Willig's apartment. So the first Shabbos that we're there, I open the refrigerator, and the light goes on. I thought, like all Orthodox Jews, unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos. Apparently Rabbi Willig doesn't. So whatever, it was like exciting. I had to bring all the food over to his neighbor, to Rabbi Husband. I didn't want the Willig's food to go bad. It was very exciting. That is one of the paradigmatic cases of a suffik psikresha, no? Because that's a suffik psikresha that, let's say, I'm not sure if I unscrew the light bulb or not. In my case, I had no havamina, the light bulb wouldn't be unscrewed. Come on, which Orthodox Jew doesn't unscrew the light bulb? But let's say you're not sure, you don't remember. That's called suffik psikresha. Suffik l'sha'avar. Rebbe Kiva Eger tainas that suffik psikresha is usher. I can only be meko on a suffik lahabuf. I can't be meko on a suffik l'sha'avar. Suffik psikresha for Rebbe Kiva Eger is usher, but at the end he's mitzayin a taz, who disagrees with him, that the taz in that case of the bread box with the flies, the taz says that suffik psikresha is mutter. So Rebbe Kiva Eger nemzan that suffik psikresha is, right, usher against the taz. This is famous in Judaism. In our case, being chote legecholam tachas hakadeir, it's a suffik psikresha, and that's why it has far no sense that should be usher. Now, anilo hevanti divrei hagon Rebbe Kiva Eger bechlal. Because l'chora, the Ramah is against him. Unzer Ramah. Right? The Ramah says at the end, don't be machmir. If Rebbe Kiva Eger is right, right? Now every, right? So, if anything, this din is a raya to the Taz. No? Ani mamash lo mevin divrei hagon Rebbe Kiva Eger. But in yeshivas, they talk about this as a machlokes between Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Taz, which it is, but I just don't understand Rebbe Kiva Eger. Okay. The Bir Halacha and Shin Tazayin, by the way, Paskins, that's Suffik Psikresha, right? He has a diuk from a Ramban, that Suffik Psikresha is going to be mutter like the Taz says, no? At least the Bir Halacha we spoke about in our Shabbashim is Mekel when the Isser is an Isser Drabonon, like Mitzarif Midrabonon. It's not clear that he'd be Mekel on the refrigerator case where it's potentially an incandescent bulb, which is going to be Doiraisa. Oh. I was mitzayin for you guys in the Maariv Mekomos a tshuva in the Melamed L'Hoel. Reb David Tzvi Hafman writes as follows in his tshuvas. He says that he doesn't see any machlokas between the Taz and Reb Kiva Eger, because the Taz is speaking in Hilchos Shabbos, Reb Kiva Eger is speaking in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov. Hilchos Shabbos has a higher bar than anything else v'halacha because of the requirement of Melachas Machsheves. Melachas Machsheves means that I'm only in violation of a melacha if I really have intention. No? Melachas Machsheves. Right? So one could argue that Suffik Psikresha is a mutter everywhere else. Right? So Suffik Psikresha, excuse me, is usher everywhere else. Is usher by Basar B'Cholov. But by Shabbos, because of the requirement of Malachas Machsheves, then Suffolk Psikresha should be Mutar. That's what Hagon Reb Kiva Eger Tainas, and I didn't realize how late it is because that clock is a little bit slow, so let's go and Daven Mincha. Okay, Chevra, we should... I'm going to try to have Shira Monday again, even though it's a Torah.